This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Dirt and Sprague continues.
So your wife tells you something. I need to know, where are we going with this?
Andy Dirt Johnson.
She said, you know what I think we should contemplate buying? She wants to put our kid on a leash.
Brandon Sprague.
It's like seeing randomly a tiger in a zoo. You just feel awful for it.
More Dirt and Sprague.
Look, she's an unbelievable mom. She carries all the weight in our family. I have to preface all this because she says I only throw her under the bus on the air.
So you just threw her under the bus.
On the Fan Sports Network.
Hour number two here on Dirt and Sprague. Joe Fisher, Rashawn Taylor here with you today and tomorrow before the boys get back on Friday to recap the second round of the college football playoffs.
They're only coming in for one day.
Well, and then, I mean, they're back. I mean, they'll be back next week, too.
Slackers come in on a Friday.
I mean, the fact that they're even coming in on Friday.
Well, Dirt will be here tomorrow.
Okay.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
That's a real worker right there.
Wait, hold on. How come we're doing his show? Well, I know why we're
doing
his show.
He's doing this special. Oh,
I know.
Oh,
I get it.
Oh, yes, I'll do the show whenever you want. I got you. Absolutely got to recoup some of this Christmas money that was spent.
He will be here 1-4 with Anthony Newman and Jason Sukanik for the Orange Bowl preview show brought to you by Tullamore Dew, Irish whiskey, the original Irish whiskey. But you can also come watch the Ducks and Texas Tech in the Orange Bowl with the Fan at Grand Central Bowl Arcade and Sports Bar on New Year's Day. Doors open early for the 9 a.m. kickoff. I believe 8:30 is what I heard. So that way you can get some drinks, get some food, get some hair of the dog that bit you from the night before. Food and drink specials throughout the day.
Will the lanes be open? Can you get a couple of lanes in?
This guy. I knew he'd ask that. Possibly.
Get the blood flowing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's quite possible. They do have big old TVs over the bowling lanes.
Because knowing some fans, they need to it's hard for them to just sit there.
And just wait.
And you know, kind of just let it happen. If you're moving, having some activity.
Get a couple frames in. Yeah, I get it.
You got your own ball swag? I have a feeling you have your own ball.
Oh, he has. Have you not heard the opens?
I think we might hear that open next in the rotation.
I think we need to.
Two.
Yeah.
He's got
shocker.
He's got a set.
One probably has like a rose inside of it.
It's one of those clear ones.
Yeah, absolutely.
But if you stick around after the game, I will be there with Jordan Schultz hosting the Dick Hanna Dealership post-game scoreboard show live from Grand Central. For more details, head to the events page at 1051thefan.com. Grand Central Bowl is the home of the University of Oregon Alumni Association watch parties. So you will be amongst fellow Ducks if you want to watch the game there, or if you want to heckle fellow Duck fans if the game is not going their way, which it won't because the Ducks are going to win on Thursday. Again, putting that energy out there. Speaking of Ducks, there is a couple Oregon Duck quarterbacks that are going to be in the playoffs.
Bo Nix going to be one of them.
That's one of them.
Justin Herbert going to be one of them.
That's two.
They will actually be playing each other this weekend. Well, Justin Herbert will actually not be playing this weekend. He will be sitting out. Jim Harbaugh announcing to the press yesterday that Justin Herbert will be out week 18, the final game of the season, which I thought was interesting because we were literally talking yesterday about how, like, coaches, they'll sit dudes week 18 if they know, like, we have the number one seed locked in or we have the five seed locked in and we know that we can't do any better, any worse than that. The Chargers technically could finish with the five seed. They could finish with the seven seed. I mean, it's still to be decided. And I just found it interesting that they're – I understand. I mean, Justin Herbert has a broken left hand.
What their offensive line? It doesn't matter what seed they are. If Herbert gets knocked out or he gets his hand his busted hand hurt more.
It just seems very un-Harbaugh, un-head coach like that. Like, we're still going to show up and we're going to try and win this game. But also, I feel like it is very also like you said, obvious where I'm like, yeah, we're going to make sure Justin doesn't die this week because we need to make sure he's alive for the playoff game, regardless of who we're playing. Because
the Bills aren't playing Josh Allen either. I think both those teams, five seed, six seed, whatever, the AFC, the teams at the top aren't necessarily...
But you don't think like the Chargers would be like, let's try and win this game so that way we face either the Steelers or the Ravens in the first round? Like, we would prefer to go.
I think they just need to get in.
No.
I think they know that Herbert is.
I'd rather face them than, I don't know, the Jacksonville Jaguars, who are playing like one of the best teams
with
in the
Herbert,
league right
they
now.
Beat, correct me if I'm wrong, Pats fans. Didn't they beat them early in the season?
They did.
I believe they beat the Broncos early in the season.
I think so.
So. I
beat the Jags earlier in the season. They lost big to the Jags earlier in the season.
Well, let's not bring up the Jags. They lost. They blew it to them in the playoffs too. So
that is true. Yeah.
No.
Another reason why you don't want to play the Jags in the playoffs.
I think it's more about let's be absolutely as healthy as possible. Now, Amarian Hampton, he needs some reps. He came back from injury. Let's see if we can get him going. Also, yeah, you need to make sure. If Trey Lance has to come in for some reason, that you have some packages and plays and formations that he is comfortable with. So they got to get ready for all. But the main thing is they have no chance if Herbert gets knocked out in this game and the Broncos do play defense.
And that's the thing. You do not want to go into the playoffs with Trey Lance as your trigger man. That's not what you want. And at this point, we see that Justin Herbert, as great as he is, doesn't get a lot of protection. So he is hurt more than often, and not like hurt, but dinged up like more than you want him to be. I want Justin
Herbert.
Oh, no,
he's flat out hurt.
Yeah, I mean,
his left
we
hand.
We saw the guy play through broken ribs last year. And he will not come out of the game.
And that's the thing. So you know he's not going to come out. Give him another week of rest. Let him rest up and everything. Is it going to heal everything? No, but a week of rest will do him some good as they get ready to move forward, especially if you do have to play the Jags in the first round with that defense coming at you, or you do have to play I don't know, whoever the hell you got to play. You know,
I just feel like it's a very unfootball guy like move.
If you're in, you're in. Like, there's
from
no
a Harbaugh.
Because, I mean, if you're in already, and then, you know, there's nothing that can really happen. Like, we win or lose, like, we're still going to go and we're just going to play this team instead. Like,
you're essentially handing the Broncos the number one seed now.
We're in. Who cares? Take it. Again, there are some people that really care. Jim Harbaugh, again, doesn't strike me as one of those dudes that. We need home field. We're going to play this much better if we have home field.
Well, I know he's not. They aren't going to get home field. I just think
the Steelers
again. Harbaugh saying like, you know what? We're just going to take this L, and we're going to let the Broncos have the number one seed. Again, I understand the aspect of not wanting Justin Herbert to die out there. I found it like you could essentially set yourself up for a matchup against the Steelers or the Ravens. Depending on tiebreakers, I'm not sure how the I haven't looked at.
Well, the Texans have the tiebreaker over the Chargers and Bills
because of the head-to-head. Yeah,
yeah.
I just don't think teams
they beat
with,
them both.
Teams with great quarterbacks That's and great right. coaches necessarily care about where they play in the playoffs. They just want to make sure you're there. Now, if we were talking the Steelers, or something like that. Yes, that's a team that needs home field advantage.
And the Texans are playing the Colts with Riley Leonard.
Yeah.
So even if you win, you're not going to improve your lot in life.
So there's no, it's low risk, you know, high reward for the most part. Like if we lose, oh well.
Now, if Herbert was healthy, but he's been, yeah, you cannot risk it at this point.
Not today. How many times have we seen it in the past week 17 or now week 18, somebody pull something going into the playoffs, now they're out? Like, they don't need that for Herbert, especially somebody who's been kind of made of tissue over the last little bit.
Yeah, and also, I don't know how you watch that game against the Texans and come away with anything other than the reason the Chargers are in the position that they're in is because of Justin Herbert. I don't know if, like, there's just people getting paid to troll online and on Twitter trying to say that, like, Justin Herbert isn't the reason that the Chargers are as good as they are, or that Justin Herbert
isn't
that.
Those people are clearly not watching Charger games.
No, kind of like.
Like, they're checking out highlights or whatever. But, no, I mean, just to, yeah. What he's done to carry that team through all of the injuries this season is fairly ridiculous.
Yeah, it's again, I feel like, I don't know, it's my algorithm just trying to piss me off, because the amount of Justin Herbert hate and the amount of...
It's been happening since college. It's been happening since he was at Oregon.
I'm pretty sure that you also at one point...
I love Justin Herbert at Oregon. When I was on the show with Mike Lynch, he was the one that was like, I don't think he's got it. I don't think Herbert. I was like, no, he's got it. He's cold. People just didn't get it. Yeah, Herbert has been my favorite quarterback of recent for the Ducks.
I feel like at one point you were...
I've never been down on Herbert. Never ever.
I think there is one point you were.
Never ever.
But yeah, he's going to be sitting out week 18 as the Chargers. Yeah, I guess they're just going to be like, I don't care who we play in this first round. Just have Herbert out there. Also, I mean, like, no offense, Swag, but I've been saying this for weeks. They're going to be in the playoffs, but there's no way they're going any further than wild card divisional at worst.
Who, the Chargers?
At best. Yeah, I mean, they're...
It more depends on the health of the defense. The defense can show up and stuff the run a little bit, generate some pass rush, then Herbert doesn't have to do it all by himself.
Well, again, I think just regardless, I think there is no way that there is a scenario where the Chargers make a run in these playoffs. Like, it, the fact that they're even here with that offensive line unit, I think is like, yeah. Hang a banner for that. At least, like, we made it to the playoffs in 2025 with 24 different offensive line makeups throughout the year. Because it's just the Raiders have had a pretty offensive line, a pretty bad offensive line this year. The Chargers might be second in that group.
Yeah, I mean, but like you said, that's why you have a Justin Herbert who can get you out of a lot of sticky situations, which he's been able to do for them more than any quarterback really in the league.
Well, we'll see if he can get out of one more, at least in the wild card. If they win a wild card game this year, then take this season as a win. Like,
I mean,
all things considered, with that offensive line and what Herbert has had to do, if you're able to upset, because yeah, at this point they're probably looking at the sixth seed or the seventh seed. If you're able to beat the Jags, or you're able to beat, oh, I mean, your Patriots, dare I say?
Yeah, well, dare you say. But if we know anything about Jim Harbaugh, we know that just winning the division isn't going to be enough for him.
Well, I'm intrigued to see how the seeding plays out in the AFC and the NFC. And let's talk about it, because also the NFC West is still to be decided. The number one seed is still to be decided in the NFC. Get to that next here on Dirt and Sprague. Joe Fisher, Rashad Taylor sitting on the Fan Sports Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app. And you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds, and grow your business fast.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
The NFC West still to be decided, and it will be decided.
More football.
This weekend, I know.
Ugh.
Why don't we talk about the 14-19 Trailblazers more?
We should. The 10th seed to Trailblazers?
Oh, wait, we did. We literally opened the show with it. But I can't say literally either.
No, that's how girls talk.
Yeah.
We're boys here. Masculinity is running wild here.
Men! We are men. NFC West will be decided on Saturday, 5 o'clock on ABC or ESPN, or Jason Swigert, the consummate professional, reminding me right here on The Fan. It will be at 5 o'clock. Seahawks pregame will start at 3 o'clock, I believe. And they will be taking on the San Francisco 49ers down at Levi's Stadium in Santa Clara, California, for the number one seed in the NFC. Right now, Seattle, a slight favorite, 1.5 points. My gut instinct, Rashad, I got the 49ers in this.
Huh?
Their offense is a hell of a lot better than the Seahawks offense is. But this is also one of those, who do you trust more in this matchup? The 49ers offense or the Seahawks defense? Because the Seahawks defense has been really good lately. But the way that 49ers offense, way Brock Purdy's playing right now, the way that Sam Darnold is not playing his best, also third in the league in interceptions, which I looked that up, what, like a half 14? Hour ago, I was like, damn, that's...
He's got a lot.
Yeah. So I guess it's who do you trust more in this matchup to get the number one seed in the NFC and get that coveted first round bye?
Well, this sucks because it's like, you're asking me if I want to gouge my right eye out or my left eye out because I can't stand either team.
Jeez.
Like, seriously, can't stand Seahawks, can't stand the 49ers. This is going to be an epic game, though, because the one thing we know, when these two combustible elements meet, they always explode. You know, go back to Richard Sherman snatching off Crabtree's chain and then saying, don't try me with a weak receiver, like that whole thing, whole time between Seahawks and 49ers. Kind of reignite
that. Was that a Seahawk that snatched his chain?
I don't know. Who snatched a lot of chains? But I think it was. I can't remember. Who knows? Probably so. But I'm looking forward to this game. I think it's going to be San Francisco. Like you mentioned, Brock Purdy, these last couple games, has been on an absolute just FU tour to the rest of the NFL, saying, who's Captain Checkdown? Watch this. And so right now, he's just a better quarterback than Sam Darnold. I think the best player on the field is Jaxon Smith-Njigba. However, like, he's not throwing to himself.
Yeah, so they got to get him the ball. Yeah, the bigger question for the 49ers is the status of all the injuries, because Trent Williams left the game early with a hamstring issue, didn't come back. What's his status? Is George Kittle going to try to play? They're just resting him. He's just a bag of bones. You know, he's beat up all the time. And then Christian McCaffrey, he did finish the game, but they were working on his back or obliques or something there in the fourth quarter, trying to keep him going. So it's more about the status of what will Purdy have at his disposal to work with and protect him against one of the top defenses in the entire NFL.
Yeah, I just – the way that Purdy's been playing, it almost looks as if it's – it doesn't almost matter who's out there playing for him. I mean, Juwan Jennings, that would definitely be beneficial if he's out there, which he doesn't have an injury, so no reason why he shouldn't be. I mean, it'd be beneficial if Greg Kittle is out there, but Jake Tonjes, the way that he has stepped up when he's been out this year.
So you stick with him for now.
I mean, there's part of me that wondered if they just wanted Kittle to have some rest and a night off against the Bears to be ready for this last game against the Seahawks and for the playoffs. I mean, it kind of sounded like Kittle could have played, and it was sort of a game-time decision with him. But I don't know, man. The way that Purdy has played the last couple weeks, I am very, very convinced that their offense is going to be able to lead them to victory at home versus that Seahawks defense, and especially when just the Seahawks offense is – been pretty damn lackluster lately.
Well, last couple weeks it has been, you know, a little up and down. They're right, like, around the middle of the league as far as points scored.
They've been able to run the ball a little bit better the last couple weeks,
which is good. You know,
I think I was saying to you yesterday, like during the break, I was like, there is no reason they should not be rushing for 175 yards a game with the way that Charbonnet is playing and the way that Kenneth Walker should be playing.
Yeah,
which seemed like this year for him was just kind of a
little down year.
A meh season for him.
You can call it a down year considering how good Kenneth Walker III is. Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I am just. I obviously a very intriguing matchup with these two. Should this have been the Sunday night game over the Steelers Ravens?
I enjoy the fact that it's Saturday because they're
both in the playoffs, and the drama is plus you've got
the win or go home aspect.
Yeah, it's a much better TV product
on Saturday night
with Aaron Rodgers potentially if Lamar is able to go. Harbaugh and Tomlin and the winner's in and the loser's out, and whoever the loser is, it might facilitate wholesale changes. Both the Niners and Seahawks are going to the playoffs. So this is
just great because again, that's the Sunday night game is win or go home. Like you win, you're in, you're out. That's that. But this game is like there's no real, obviously, first place is up for grabs and everything for both teams. But again, both teams are going to make the playoffs. It doesn't really matter where they're seated, I think, for either one of these teams. But you're talking about a rivalry game on Saturday night against two teams that are within the same division that just do not like each other. Like, this is going to be an awesome game.
Yeah, I'm hesitant to believe in the Seahawks making a deep postseason run. And I think that the 49ers somehow, some way are going to pull off this win, this victory. They just, outside of last year, have seemed to just have things fall their way year in and year out. And the way that even the end of this season is playing out for them, the Brock Purdy playing out of his mind. It's just, I feel like they kind of have this aspect of, I shouldn't say luck, because again, they're playing offensively better than any team in the league right now. I just think that when it comes down to it, their offense is going to be able to outplay the Seahawks defense. Seahawks, I mean, even when they're at home, they haven't played their best, which is, you know, odd because the Seahawks in Seattle playing at home is usually a tough environment, but if you looked over the last couple of years, they've been better on the road.
Yeah, I mean,
I just think that the 49ers, they somehow just have this weird black magic voodoo that they're able to pull out to be able to get them the number one seed or get to the NFC Conference Championship or get to the Super Bowl, and I just feel like that's going to play out again on Saturday.
The Achilles heel of the San Francisco 49ers are expectations. As soon as we expect them to win, That's when they do the exact opposite and lose. Look at any Super Bowl they played in over the past couple of years. And this, as bad as this offense is for the Seahawks, they've done some pretty good work against some really good defenses in the NFL this year. So, I don't know.
They just gave up 440 yards to the Bears.
I get it.
The Bears.
I get it.
So,
but I would also say that the Bears' offense, a little bit better than the Seahawks' offense at this point in the season.
I mean, one team has a receiver that's going to be an all-pro receiver this year, probably arguably the best skill player in football.
He will start the Pro Bowl if the Seahawks are not in the Super Bowl.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm intrigued to see how this plays out. The winner gets the number one seed. The loser gets the 5 seed more than likely. I think it still depends also how other games shake out. I mean, I'm literally looking at the remaining NFL scenarios as far as who gets the 1 seed, the 2. I mean, the Rams still have a chance at the 5 seed. I'm looking at this grid right now. There is a lot of different scenarios that can play out. Chicago and Philly, they have either the 2 or 3 seed locked up, depending on the results on Saturday and Sunday. Whether Washington wins or Philly wins or Detroit wins or Chicago wins. But the number 1 seed, the number 5 seed, and the number 6 seed all will be NFC West teams. It just depends on who those teams are going to be. Crazy.
Crazy.
Well, it's also crazy that the Rams basically were like the number 1 team in the NFL throughout like 80% of the season, 85% of the season, and then they're now looking at either the 5th or 6th seed.
For you.
Certainly is. All right, let's take a break from NFL playoff action and move over to college football playoff action. We are going to get to some Duck stuff in hour number 3, so stick around. But let's go over to Miami because the Hurricanes taking on Ohio State Buckeyes in the New Year's Eve game in the Sugar Bowl? Fiesta Bowl? Peach Bowl?
Cotton Bowl.
Cotton Bowl. Thank you. Yeah. We go to Adam Lichtenstein, South Florida Sun Sentinel, next to talk about the Miami Hurricanes versus Ohio State Buckeyes.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
Today's Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is brought to you by Pelican Brewing Sparkle Hops. Sparkle into the new year with the hops you love and fruity flavors with Pelican's non-alcoholic hop-infused sparkling refreshers.
Daily Ticker time here on Dirt and Sprague. Joe Fish, Rashad Taylor sitting in here with you today. Let's go over to the Cotton Bowl. That'll be played tomorrow at 4:30. You can catch that right here on The Fan after our Orange Bowl preview show. But to preview the Cotton Bowl and the matchup between Miami and Ohio State, we have Adam Lichtenstein of the Miami Sun Sentinel. He is Miami Hurricanes beat writer. Wanted to get a Miami perspective on this just because, obviously, being up here in Oregon, our Ducks are familiar with the head coach of Miami, Mario Cristobal.
A little bit.
We are also familiar with playing this very Ohio State team in the second round of the playoffs. Adam, thank you for joining us here this morning. What are the vibes like with this Miami team, more so the Miami fan base, rolling into the Cotton Bowl against Ohio State?
Hey, thanks for having me. And I think, I mean, maybe I'm projecting a little bit here, but I think everyone's kind of just ready to kick off already. You know, there's all the festivities and pomp and circumstance around the bowl games. It's a bowl game and it's a playoff game. And I think, you know, it's been almost 10 days since they played A&M. I think they're just ready to play. I think they're ready to go. Like I said, maybe it's just me projecting and I'm ready to cover this game and go home. But, you know, I think they're ready to go.
So we all know that Ohio State has a really talented front seven. So I'm curious of how can Miami really establish the run and try to really control this line of scrimmage in this important game?
Well, that's the million-dollar question. You know, all season, the Hurricanes' offensive line has been one of the best in the nation, particularly at protecting Carson Beck. You know, they've done an excellent job. I think they've only given up like 12 or 13 sacks all season. So they've done a great job of keeping Carson Beck clean. And when he's clean, he can make his reads, go through his progressions, and pick out the open man. The question is going to be the running game, because the running game was huge, obviously, against Texas A&M. Miami couldn't do much down the field. neither team really could because of the wind, but Miami in particular kept things pretty close to the line of scrimmage and relied on running the ball. That's going to be tougher this week with Caden McDonald, especially a defensive tackle. He's one of the best run-stopping defensive linemen in the country. And then you add in guys like Arvell Reese and Sonny Styles, and that's just like an insane defense to go against. So Miami at times has had a little bit of trouble getting push in the running game. They haven't been super explosive up until really the A&M game, where they were able to break off a few really, really crucial big runs. But that has been an issue kind of throughout the year. You know, they've been able to maybe grind out a couple yards at a time, but they've struggled to have explosive runs. And Ohio State is not a team that's probably going to allow many explosive runs anyway. So it's going to be a really tough battle, and I think it could be the one that decides the game if Miami struggles in the passing game too.
Well, from your point of view, just coming out of that Texas A&M game, it was an extremely impressive performance defensively for Miami, but offense obviously getting that touchdown late in the game, leaving a little bit to be desired. From your point of view, do you feel more confident that Miami's going to have a chance in this because of their defense, or less confident because you're like, boy, I mean, Texas A&M's defense, while decent, I mean, held Miami to just 10 points, and they're going up against Ohio State, one of, if not the best defenses in the country?
Yeah, I'd be lying if I said I was confident, like very, very confident one way or the other. I do think like the conditions at Kyle Field did play a big role. And normally I'm not one to chalk up a lot to that, but those winds were swirling. You know, the flags were ripping, like it was crazy. There was one pass that stands out where Carson Beck had his receiver open. He had a beat on his guy. He's streaking downfield. Beck throws it up, and Beck said after the game a couple days later, he's like, I let that ball go, and I'm thinking that's a touchdown. And the wind just caught it in midair and blew it out of bounds. And after that, they really stopped trying to throw the ball downfield. If you go back and watch the game, Carson Beck, I think, only had two passes of more than 20 yards, like down the field, both of which were incomplete. They just were not trying to do that. They were trying to keep things, you know, close to the line, you know, spread the ball out and try to make plays that way. And that's what A&M was able to stop. Like Malachi Toney, Miami star freshman, he is a great playmaker. He makes things happen in space, but he could not do that against A&M. A&M was locked in on him. He only had like 22 receiving yards all game, and 12 of those came on the game-winning little pop pass. That's technically a pass. I don't think that's going to be as big of an issue in this game because the game's indoors and the wind's not going to be howling. I think they'll be able to move the ball downfield a little bit better, or at the very least they're going to try to. You know, obviously, like you said, Ohio State has an excellent defense, and if they can put a clamp on that, then that's a huge problem for the Hurricanes. But they're definitely going to try to expand the passing game, trying to make the offense a little more explosive than it was against A&M.
The Hurricanes have a bunch of really explosive offensive players. You mentioned Malachi Toney, but Carson Beck, Mark Fletcher Jr., a bunch of guys on the offense. But who do you expect to be the unsung offensive hero for tomorrow night's game?
I'll say there are two guys I'll single out. Neither of them, we didn't see a ton of them doing much against A&M. One is Gerard Pringle. He's the number two running back for the Hurricanes. He's a freshman. He kind of started getting more time in the last month of the season. As some other guys were banged up, Mark Fletcher missed a couple games. So Gerard Pringle started getting some more playing time. And he has that kind of burst that Mark Fletcher doesn't really have. And I like Mark Fletcher as a running back. He's a big, powerful back, but he's not the fastest. He doesn't have that extra gear. And that's why, like, you look at that long run he had against A&M that set up the touchdown. That's why it was only, I say only in air quotes, a 55-yard run and not a touchdown. He doesn't have that extra gear to fully get away from people. Gerard Pringle does have that. And, you know, the Hurricanes relied on Fletcher against A&M. They only gave Pringle one carry. So I think we could definitely see more of Gerard Pringle in this game. He has that kind of extra shiftiness and extra speed to potentially break off some big runs. And I'll pick out another guy. I'll say it could be either C.J. Daniels or Keelan Marion. Like I said, everyone knows about Malachi Toney by this point. He's a star, one of the best receivers in the country. But Miami didn't have that number two guy against A&M who they could turn to when Toney wasn't able to make plays. And I think Keelan Marion or C.J. Daniels could be that guy. Daniels, he's a veteran. They're both veterans, but Daniels has kind of got that very good hand-eye coordination, the ball skills. Like everyone, you could look back at the season opener against Notre Dame where he made that, you know, still might be the best catch of the season, that, you know, leaping grab in between like three defenders. Like he has that kind of ability in him to make those stellar plays when the ball comes near him. And then Marion, He doesn't have quite the explosiveness that Malachi Toney does, but he is very fast. He can make things happen. And he's come on strong the last, you know, last month of the regular season. And I think, you know, you get the ball to him in space, he can also make some things happen.
And just to wrap things up here again, I started saying that we're very familiar with Mario Cristobal up here in the Pacific Northwest with his time here at Oregon. What's like kind of the pressure angle for him? Obviously, it's before the game. We don't have the context of how the game plays out. But are Miami fans just like, hey, we won a playoff game? He kind of, you know, exercised some demons by getting that win at Texas A&M. So anything at this point is gravy, or is there pressure on him to win this game or at least make it a closer game than what the spread is saying at 9.5 right now?
Yeah, I think it's more the, you know, playing with house money bit at this part. Yeah. Like, don't get me wrong. Hurricanes fans are dying to win this game. It's not just a playoff game. It's also, you know, there have been games in between, but this is basically a rematch of the 03 national title game, 2002 season, where Miami fans still believe they should have won that game. And there's a whole psychoanalysis you can dive into with that, like, you know, where the Hurricanes fell off after that, you know, losing that game and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So, like, Hurricanes fans want this one really, really bad. But in terms of, like, how they judge Mario Cristobal, I think it's kind of house money at this point. You look at where the program was before he got here, you know, we're talking about 20 years of basically national irrelevance, you know, becoming a laughingstock, not being able to win the ACC. You know, the biggest thing in 20 years was the turnover chain, like, which was fun and all. I like the turnover chain. But, you know, this is not a nationally relevant program for 20 years. And that, you know, talking about dealing, like, psychic damage, like, that's devastating. You know, you want to be relevant. And Cristobal, he comes in, and the first year, they're terrible. They're 5-7. They lose to Middle Tennessee State at home, which was embarrassing. The next year, they get a little bit better, but there's still those embarrassing moments, like, you know, everyone goes back to him failing to take a knee against Georgia Tech and costing his team the game, like, directly, which, again, terrible moment. No excuse for that. But then since then, the program's really been on a full upward trajectory. You look at last year, they go 10-2, and they just missed the playoffs because their defense wasn't quite good enough. This year, they go 10-2 again. They still tripped up a little bit in the middle of the season, but they got that signature win over Notre Dame. They beat Florida. They beat Florida State. They beat Pittsburgh at the end of the year. And they sneak into the playoffs, and you know, they go into Kyle Field and win that game. So I think, you know, he's shown that the trajectory of this program is going up. Like, I think that's what Hurricanes fans want the most. Like, of course, there are some who are impatient, who are like, who demand a national championship every year. Like, of course, but every fan base has that. I think most anyone who's rational, who can look at this program and see where they are now compared to where they were 4 years ago, will say, yes, he's doing a great job. Like, sign me up for more of this.
Great stuff, Adam. Appreciate you coming on, giving us the Miami angle for the Cotton Bowl that will be tomorrow at 4:30. You can follow Adam at AB Lichtenstein, LichtenStein. He is with the South Florida Sun Sentinel. Again, appreciate you coming on. Have a great time tomorrow covering the game and experiencing everything that comes with it. And again, appreciate you coming on today.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
That was Adam Lichtenstein, South Florida Sun Sentinel. Let's take a break. Let's talk more about this matchup between Miami and Ohio State in the Cotton Bowl tomorrow that you can hear right here on The Fan. Do that next year, Dirt and Sprague on The Fan Sports Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
DSW, birthplace of the humble brag.
year, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their Showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
We back. Want to thank Adam Lichtenstein for jumping on from the South Florida Sun Sentinel on the Daily Ticker. Daily Ticker is brought to you by Pelican Brewing Sparkle Hops. Sparkle into the new year with the hops you love and fruity flavors with Pelican's non-alcoholic hop-infused sparkling refreshers. That game is intriguing as hell to me because Miami is a good team. Their defense was immaculate against Texas A&M. I think they're playing really good football right now at the right time. But then I go to the line of this game in Ohio State being a 9.5-point favorite. And that's a part of me that's just like, man, Vegas is, maybe they just know something that we don't. And they're like, you guys, this is not as close as maybe Miami fans are trying to have you believe. I know Josh Pate, who comes on this show, he's been, you know, I know he is a guest on this show frequently, but man, it seems like he has been flip-flopping back and forth about whether he likes Miami's quarterback, offensive line, D-line more than Ohio State's. As I'm trying to get a read on this game, I'm like, maybe this is going to be closer than we think, but I just go back to that 9.5, and it's just like, damn, if Vegas loves Ohio State this much, I don't see why I shouldn't believe in that as well, and that Ohio State's going to just shut Miami down, make Carson Beck's life a living hell, and end up winning this game by 10, 14 points.
I mean, I don't see any reason why that wouldn't happen. I mean, looking on paper, Ohio State is superior in every way. Their quarterback has more passing yards, their running back has more rushing yards, their receivers have more, you know, just across the board. Like, so just based on the metrics, and they play in the Big Ten, you would think that Ohio State...
Yeah, but they didn't play, they played about as soft the Big Ten schedule.
That was the next thing I was about to say, is that you look at Miami's schedule, and they play Notre Dame at the beginning of the year. Now, mind you, Ohio State plays Texas at the beginning of the year, but then we saw what Texas eventually turned out to be, right? And so they beat Illinois, but we all saw with Illinois, my Illini, what they turned out to be, you know, at the end of the day. So
game is close if the Miami front seven can make Julian Sayin uncomfortable.
Yeah.
This game is close. If they can't get to him and move him off his spot and he can just sit back there and find his receivers, then Ohio State will eventually pull away. Ohio State doesn't, they don't come out and blitz teams in the first half. It's like Novocaine. It just wears on you, and eventually you
death by
just,
a thousand cuts.
I honestly think we're going to see a really aggressive Ohio State team because their last game was a loss in the Big Ten championship.
Well, yeah, it was a
month ago. Yeah, and so I see a team that's licking their chops, ready to come in here and really prove a point to the rest of the country that they should be they should be in the national championship game. And so I think Ohio State is going to, they're going to try to take them out really, really early in the game. So I wouldn't be surprised to see some early blitzes in the first quarter.
Yeah, I'm just kind of recapping the Ohio State season real quickly, looking at, you know, their schedule. And, you know, it's just they have big wins in there, but Swag is definitely right as far as, like, they don't just, like, jump out to these quick leads where they're just dominating away.
There's a lot of 14-3 halftime leads, and then they end up winning by four touchdowns. Yeah. But I also have a problem. No football player should be allowed to be named Bo Jackson anymore.
Ever in life.
I don't care how good you are. We retire numbers. We do all that.
Retire names.
We need to retire names. There are names in sports that if you are an athlete, sorry, you're going to have to come up with something else.
Yeah, you can't be.
Because there's only one Bo Jackson, and yeah, you're done.
Do you remember that commercial and the guy's name was Michael Jordan?
Yeah.
And he's going to, like, goes to Steakhouse Michael Jordan. Everybody's all pissed off that it's him and not the actual
person. Yeah, anywhere he goes, doctor's office. And
so I saw Bo Jackson. I'm like, oh, Bo Jackson has a son that plays in college? Like,
yeah,
that's
unless
awesome.
You are a direct descendant from said player, you are Bo Jackson Jr. or the second or third or whatever.
You got to be something else. You got to be Bowie.
You have to come up with something else.
You got to be Bowie or like Bronny or something like that. You can't be LeBron James the second in the NBA. Just, you got to call him Bronny.
Well, this game is intriguing as hell because the way that Miami's defense played against Texas A&M and to end the season, and you're going up against Ohio State, who offensively is not as high powered as they were last year, but it's like if you're able to stop the run and you're able to bracket Jeremiah Smith, double team him, do things to eliminate him and have Carnell Tate beat you and all their other weapons, it's like then Julian Sain's going to have to win this game. Is the Miami offense going to have a show out game where Carson Beck plays to his potential, or does he lay a dud out there? It's just, to me, this is a much more intriguing game than the 9.5 leads me to believe it's going to be, at least from the Vegas standpoint.
I mean, I get what Vegas is saying, but we've also seen things change, so can't rely on that.
Well, stoked for that. That is tomorrow, 4:30, right here on The Fan. That will be after our Orange Bowl preview show. Saw someone on either the text line or the YouTube chat asking, how is Dirt not working the day of the the day before the Orange Bowl? He is working the day before the Orange Bowl. He will not be doing this show, but he will be doing the Orange Bowl preview show brought to you by Tullamore Dew with Anthony Newman and Jason Zukanik. That will be at 1 o'clock tomorrow, 1 o'clock till 4 o'clock, leading you right up to the Cotton Bowl, which will be right here on The Fan programming. All right, let's go to hour number three. Let's get into this Ducks-Texas Tech game a little bit more. We also had some transfer news with the Oregon Ducks. We had some guys saying that they will be returning next year. A lot going on with the Oregon Ducks as they prepare for their Orange Bowl game against Texas Tech. That will be played New Year's Day, 9 a.m., that you can also hear right here on The Fan. Do that next here. Hour number three, Dirt and Sprague coming up, Fan Sports Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide.
based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.